Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Once again, people, this is Speaking Like You Think It Radio. I'm your host, Naj Know-It-All, and I'm joined today by co-host, professor of all things sports, Mr. Craig Barzee. And we got a special guest in today, Mr. Khalil Thompson from the Redonkulous Show.
Thank you.
What's going on, y'all?
Not much. Just wanted to talk some sports, have a good time.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. We're going to do that. Before we get into the big stuff, man, which is, you know, the conference finals in the NBA, East and West, man, I wanted to get y'all feeling on a couple of just little stories going on out there, man. First thing first, man, I got to go to Venus Williams in the French Open. The little outfit she got on, man. What y'all think, man? Y'all feeling it or think she look desperate? What?
I mean, I would have been feeling the outfit if Serena was wearing it. She's the one who got the cannons underneath the deal. But, I mean, Venus comes out here. I mean, who goes play tennis in a teddy? I'm sorry. That doesn't make any sense. There's nothing you can say that justifies that in my mind.
Craig.
Hey, man. I'll give it to her, man. Man, she, you know, she may not be the finer of the two sisters, man, but to go out there and put it all out there like that, man, in that kind of outfit, including with, you know, when they play tennis, that little skirt comes up and they show on the thumb. I mean, come on, man. I give it to her, man. She got a lot of nerve for wearing that out there, man.
The crazy part is she had the nerve to put on the flesh colored undergarment underneath the thing. So when the skirt came flying up, it appeared as if it was just her bare butt hanging out the
side.
Right. I mean, I'm just saying, if I had kids and they're watching tennis, I'd be kind of offended to see this woman's backside all up in the air. I mean, but since I don't have any kids, I'm a grown man, I appreciate it.
Well, it was like you're right. It was, man, and it was like pantyhose, like, you know, that kind of color. And I mean, you could see that she had on some money, but it was a thong, man. Let's make no mistake about it. You could see it if you put the pictures up, man. Girl's in shape, man. I ain't got no problems with it, but damn. Yeah, man, that does look like a teddy, man. I mean, I don't know, man. She do be hanging with them some white kids, cats now, man. Maybe, you know, she's trying to put herself on the market out there like that, let her know that she, you know, she's freaking it. Something like that.
Hey, she's holding, though. I give it to her. She holding a lot more than I thought she had, man.
I give it on that, too. And the good thing is she didn't even have to go change when it's time to get down with a man afterwards.
Right. Just came in there with that fit on.
Ready to go. What's happening?
Right outfit, wrong sister. That's, I guess, sums it up pretty much, man.
Much props to Venus, man. She putting it out there for public consumption, man. I'm down with it, man. Go ahead. Next time we're something needs more race, so come out there in the thongs, man. In the thongs and some pasties.
That'll be wild right there. I guess the other little wild story, I don't know if y'all seen the pictures yet, man. Of course, this ain't sports related, man, but it's hip hop related, so I'm gonna add it anyway. You see, we threw the Cube on for the intro. Shout out to the 30 for 30 Cube did about the Raiders.
Yes, sir.
50 Cent, man, that man, he's doing a role in the movie. It's called Things Fall Apart, and he's playing a football player who has cancer and loses a lot of weight. So in order to get ready for the role, 50 lost 50 pounds, man. He's 160 right now. He put out the pictures on his website today. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet. Either one?
I've seen the pictures, and here's my thing. If this is a big budget movie – and you can pay millions of dollars and whatever, then do this. But this movie is going straight to DVD. It ain't even going to the movie theater. So for real, so you look at these pictures, this dude looks like a Somalian child who ain't been fed, because you remember how big 50 was. 50 was swole.
Yeah.
And, you know, now he just looks scrawny. So I'm like, well, damn, was 50 on PEDs? Was he on some performance enhancing drugs to get him done? You don't just lose that type of muscle tone and just become that way. He looks sickly, but his head looked crazy also. I don't know. I don't like that.
Yeah, that boy got a dome on him, man. Serious dome on him with the skinny face, man. That boy's head really showing right now. That man looks skinny and ashy, man. I don't know what happened.
He's skinny and ashy.
Barger, did you see it?
Yeah, man, I'm looking at him right now, man. I'll tell you the funny thing you said about that PED, man. His name was linked to some doctor. Him and I think there was a whole bunch of celebrities a while back that was linked to a doctor who's writing prescriptions for steroids. I think it was him, Mary J. Blige, and it was a lot of other
Wyclef. Yeah, it was a lot of cats.
That was linked to that. That's a funny thing you say that, man. But looking at this, man, yeah, this cat, man, you know, like you said, going straight to DVD, man, I think anytime you see a film directed by Mario Van Peebles, you know, that's either a BET Blackbuster special or it's going straight to DVD. So, like you said, man, I don't know what he's – I mean, credit to him, man. He must be, you know, really taking his craft serious to do this kind of thing. But damn, you're right. He does look real sick, man. He looks straight out of something out of Ethiopia in this pic, man. I'm looking at here.
Exactly.
This dude looks either like he's got HIV and about to die.
That's what I was about to say. It looked like 50 has caught something. That's what it looked like to me. It looked like 50 has some type of disease. And I'm not saying that he does anything like that. But if you were to look at that picture just without any of the context of what this movie role and everything, you would think that this man is sick, that he has some type of debilitating disease, and that he's got one foot in. So, I mean, any more weight, he's going to look like Al Davis.
Oh, no, man. Off the rip over here, we done shot Mario Van Peebles. And we done brought up the boy Al Davis, and it's completely relevant both cases, man.
That ain't no shot at Mario Van Peebles, man.
It's like, a shot know, at him, man. You hey, said man, the man directs blackbuster movies, man.
Hey, man, it's like Bill Parcells say, man. You are what you are, man. You know Mario Van Peebles ain't directed no damn Academy Award winner.
All right, man, I'm going to let you take Van Peebles out. All right, now, on a side note, man, quick little story. I don't know how to pronounce her name, man. Natalie Gobis, I want to say, the chick that dated Big Ben a while ago. She come out today and said he was a good guy and, you know, saying all these positive things about him. Where was this chick a couple weeks ago, man? I know he got to be looking at her like, you couldn't say this a while ago? What the hell?
Maybe she wasn't paid a couple weeks ago. Maybe the check didn't come till now. Maybe he needs some good press in his life. So, I mean, it's just a thought. But
yeah,
I don't know. At the heart of it all, I think maybe Big Ben everybody has their own definition that what a good guy is. At some point in time, Tina Turner thought Ike Turner was a good guy. So, everybody has their own definition of what a good person is, so I still don't buy it. His track record shows what he really is.
Yeah, I second that. I'm just saying, just for his sake, where was the chick at, man? That's some wild stuff she comes out now.
I mean,
he's waiting to get the go-ahead for training camp from, you know, from the big boss, Goodell.
You gotta think maybe she wasn't asked at the time, man, you know what I mean? Maybe that's just a case where somebody, you know, some reporter something know that she was linked to Big Ben at one time and said, you know, hey, let me pose a question. Did he ever come across to you like that type of dude who you know forced himself on a chick? Maybe she answered truthfully, man. So maybe he does need to. If he didn't send her the check, maybe he should.
Thank you, check.
True on that one. And the last quick one I wanted to get in. A former Oklahoma State assistant sued Tubby Smith, man, for $1.25, man. And basically he won. He was an assistant at Oklahoma State, and he resigned with the idea that he was going on the Tubby staff. Tubby gave him the go-ahead. But the Minnesota administration didn't want to hire the guy because he had a certain background as far as recruiting. So he was just, you know, asked out for a minute, and Tubby, I guess, is going to have to cut the check. I don't know if that's Tubby or the university or whatever, but came up 1.25, man.
I mean, personally, I think that's kind of shady. I mean, if Tubby Smith was going out of his way to get this man a job. You know, who is he? How was he supposed to know that the administration wasn't going to approve this guy getting hired? That, you know, this man vouched for you, wanted to bring you on the staff. You resigned before you got the new job offer. Is that his fault? You know, is that Tubby's fault? But now he got to pay you 1 point. I mean, what type of friend is that to say, okay, well, I didn't get a job, but now you're responsible? I mean, I think that's kind of messed up. I mean, $1.25 million? What type of assistant coach gets paid that type of money a year?
Well, see, this is the thing. He was making $200K, I guess, over there in Okie State as an assistant. So I guess he lost, a huge amount of money. But like you said, though, if everything wasn't confirmed, why did you resign? Why not wait?
Yeah, I find that, I mean, I don't know all the details on the story, but it just is what type of person. I mean, if I'm in a situation and I got a friend who tells me they want to hire me for a job, and if I leave my job and then I don't get the job he was going to bring me on for, why would I sue my friend? It doesn't make any sense. That as a man, I'm just not doing that.
Yeah, definitely a weird situation. Barney?
Yeah, man, I didn't know much about the case, man. I just took a little bit of time to review it, man. But it appears that, it said the court, the case basically hinged on a phone conversation between Tubby and Duke, where he offered him the job, and Cap promptly went in there and told Oklahoma State, hey, I'm out of here. And they said this cat ain't had work in quite some time since all this transpired, man, or health insurance. So that 1.25, man, was much needed. I'm sure his family, man, celebrating now, man. I mean, it looks like that was the case, man. That Tubby, I don't know what happened where he didn't come aboard on Tubby's staff in Minnesota, but that was the case, man. I mean, if you're on the jury hearing this case and you hear Tubby saying, that you got a job and then something happened. They don't say all what happened why he didn't get on Tubby's staff, but they said he quit his job based on that conversation, man. And
that's a hell of a conversation to have with your wife.
Yeah.
We're moving to Minnesota. I got this job. Oh, I don't got this job, and I resign.
But here's a question I have: is it Tubby's fault that your butt couldn't find another job? I mean, what type of coach were you where your old employer wouldn't even hire you back or even consider hiring you back? You couldn't find another job, period, in this time frame? If you're a good coach, there's work out there for you. I know it's a recession, but coaches are still getting paid.
Yeah, but I guess when you got those flags on you, some type of recruiting violation, that might hurt, man. The NCAA job market is no punk, man. If anybody who's ever been close to a Final Four, you go into any of the hotels, man, there's coaches everywhere, man. It's like a graveyard. Guys walking around looking for work, man.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man. He had to. He may have had to perpetrate that. That kind of a stance, man, to try and win his lawsuit. You know, it wouldn't look good for him if he took up another job and he's trying to get 1.25, man. You know, he might have to. You know, like you say, what's that? George Wallace, the comedian, used to say. Stick with your lie. I mean, at that point, he had to ride with that.
Right. That's a rough one, though, man. But we here, man, we're three basketball fans, too, so we might as well go ahead and get into these conference finals. Let's get into the game last night first, man. Lakers and Phoenix. Phoenix played that zone again. Kobe Bryant was himself. That bench for Phoenix was so big, man. That spin move on Fisher last night by the boy Dragic, it shocked me. Even though I've seen dude ball out a little bit, still shocked me. What are your thoughts on the series, man? Do we have a real series here, or does LA got this in the long run?
Honestly, I'm not concerned. I mean, when the Suns come to LA and win a game, that's when I'd be concerned. I mean, you got to look at the last two games that the Suns won. You relied on Amari Stoudemire giving you 42 points the other night and then the bench giving you 50 points plus last night. If you expect that to happen for the rest of the series, then you got to be out of your mind. It's not going to happen. Until the Suns come into L.A. and win a game, I'm not concerned at all. Just, I mean, in the NBA, the home court advantage actually means something, unlike hockey.
True. Barzy?
Yeah, I'm not too much concerned with it. He pretty much hit on all points. I mean, the bench played unbelievable yesterday, and I mean, if they don't get that kind of production from the bench, man, they're going to lose that game. I mean, the Lakers were shooting 50-something percent in the first half, so it wasn't like they were containing the Lakers. And if he's right. For them to keep up that kind of production, man, I don't see it. I mean, if it comes down to it, man, I'm just more worried about when the Lakers get to the next round. Are they going to play good enough defense to try and be able to win a championship? And another point I want to hit on, that Dragic kid.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lakers, man, Fisher shouldn't even be out there with that kid. And what are they getting from Jordan Farmer, man? I mean, this kid was a high school All-American. I mean, come on, man. Hey, I look at him, man, I don't even understand how the Lakers still have him on their squad, man. He gives them absolutely nothing. He was good a couple of years ago. He has not come on. He should have taken that job if he was about anything. He should be the starting guard on that team, man.
Right.
And, if he was about anything, and I just don't really know if the boy has it, man.
The fact that he hasn't taken that job from Fisher is an indictment on, you know, in his own way. I mean, he should have been had that job, man.
That's a job that is begging to be taken. It's begging to be taken. Derek Fisher is old. I mean, he has experience. His legs are slow, though. He can't keep up with people, which was clearly shown when Russell Westbrook was running all over the place. If the Lakers come in and play the Celtics, Rondo's going to do the exact same thing. I mean, what does Jordan Farmar do? And it's absolutely nothing. I don't know why they still have him. They're better off putting Vujicic in the game.
Yeah, they put him out there. It would look like the same thing that he was doing to Fisher. He's doing to Dragic. Dragic is doing to him. So I really don't know what he has to offer, man. And I think that's really a something that the Lakers are going to have to address. If they don't win the championship this year, you know, they're going to have to do something at that point guard position because they don't get anything other than what Derek Fisher gave. Derek Fisher should not be playing those load of minutes that he's playing. This guy should be something who's backing up, a backup point guard at this point in his career. He can't keep up with the quicker guards. They know that, especially if Rondo if both the Celtics and the Lakers make it to the next round in the finals. That's a serious mismatch, man. And we see what kind of havoc the point guard can wreak when he gets in the lane and he's drawing and he's kicking like Rondo can do. I mean, I don't know what the Lakers going to have to answer. Maybe put Kobe on him. I have no idea. But
then who's going to guard Ray Allen?
Yeah, that's a good question, man.
That's definitely going to be a big problem. And when you guard Rondo where you have to back up off him, that's when Boston becomes most dangerous because that's what Cleveland essentially had to do, give him room. And when he has room, he can see the floor, find people, and their offense runs like clockwork then. He's having a little trouble tonight because Orlando's pressuring him a little bit, but I think it's going to be a bad thing, though, if we see Boston L.A. for the boy Fisher, man.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I think it's a terrible matchup for the Lakers just as they are right now. I don't put it past Phil Jackson and Kobe being able to overcome the Celtics. It's that both teams make it to the finals, but you're right, they definitely need a serious upgrade in the point guard position. And if they don't win a championship this year, the point guard play and Bynum's knees, what they might have to point at.
Mm-hmm. And I got another question for y'all, too. Phoenix getting as far as they have this year and you know, essentially making this a series, would you say now that this is kind of an indictment on that D'Antoni 7 seconds or less stuff, bringing in Gentry? I mean, this is not the best Phoenix team we've seen, but it's one of the better ones, but they've gotten a lot farther without D'Antoni's system.
Well, I don't know if you could quite say that because Gentry – was an assistant on him. Now there's some tweaking, but they still kind of run the same kind of stuff. Nash still plays in the same type of offense. It's not quite the same, and plus the personnel is different. They got where they didn't have a guy who could really play center. They had Amari playing center under D'Antoni, And, you know, you've got different pieces, a little different pieces than what D'Antoni had. I don't know that necessarily they would be worrying about defense because it doesn't look like some of the guys on the floor, Amari included, and Nash included, don't look like they worry about really stopping the opponent.
Anybody.
Yeah, so I can't say much has changed from D'Antoni.
Well, a lot has changed, though. I mean, they tweaked the system, but changing that system any little bit is a real big difference. I mean, you're going from shooting, like you said, within 7 seconds to, like they said last night, within 12.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a big difference. You're talking about a lot of possessions in a game.
But they still don't play defense.
Well, they try.
They try. I mean, to try and to succeed are two different things. They don't play any defense. So they gave up 100 and I forgot what the score was of the night, but they don't play defense. I mean, Steve Nash is a defensive liability. I mean, and as his career continues to go on, he continues to get older, it's just going to show even more and more as his skills diminish how much of a defensive liability he truly is. Now,
yeah.
Outside of that, Amari Stoudemire could be that young. The dude, he makes no effort at defense sometimes. It's embarrassing to see his lack of defensive aptitude. It's just, they don't play defense.
Yeah, but you said the right word, though, aptitude, though. With Amari, it's not like he's out there just being lazy on defense.
Oh,
he just doesn't know what to do. He doesn't hit the right rotations. Well, I guess Barzy's going to say he's not closing out on shooters.
Hey,
yeah, so, yeah, that is a lazy aspect.
Yeah, and I seen Paul Gasol basically lay the ball over him, man, which in itself should never happen as athletic as he is. That should never happen.
You're talking about one of the softest players in the NBA history.
Hey, but he's talented around that basket, man. I know a lot of people are down on him. I'm high on Gasol, man. I like what he does down there.
I like what he does too, man. But anytime, you know, it's not like he's gonna out jump Amari. So,
right.
I mean, if you're laying the ball over him, what does that tell you? That means Amari's not giving you any effort, man. And I'm not going to say everybody on that team doesn't play defense. There's a few guys out there that will play defense. Grant Hill and the Lopez kid will play. But you know,
37-year-old and a 21-year-old.
Exactly.
Right.
Everybody else is suspect, man. They out there looking to play on offense, including your boy who should be a lot better as far as defensively. That's your boy Jason Richardson.
There's no explanation for Jason Richardson, man. That man's out of Spartan school, out your boy Izzo's camp, man. There's no reason he should be that bad defensively.
Well, you look at where he's played. He left when he came out of college. He went and played in Golden State. Don Nelson obviously didn't care about playing defense.
Right.
So he went to Charlotte. I forgot who was playing before Larry Brown got there, but Larry got rid of him because he don't play any defense. So, I mean, there you go.
It's been a long time since he put on that green and white. So, yeah, he's had a long time to pick up some bad habits, man, and he shows them out there.
Man, did he play defense in college? I mean,
I can't remember him making
any specific big-time defensive plays that I can remember.
Mm-mm.
True, but at the same time, out there at Michigan State, if you're the one guy on the floor not playing any defense, it'd be pretty obvious.
He played 1 year too, homie. I mean, there ain't a lot of tape footage to say, you know, hey.
No, he was there too. He was there too.
Nah, I think that dude came out after his freshman, wasn't he?
He was on the championship team with Mateen, and he came back the next year as the main guy. So I want to say he left as a sophomore. Yeah, we have to check that one, man.
Yeah.
Another thing, I guess, this series, well, we got 2-2, games are ending. I'm pretty sure L.A. is going to end this in the next two games. I don't see Phoenix pulling one out. You guys want to go on the record with how you feel about it?
I see L.A. winning this thing.
I said 6 all along, so wasn't nothing to change my stance. Even when they were down, I'm pulling for the Magic tonight. I didn't really see them. If they win tonight, I didn't really see them winning two games after they're down 3-0. especially the way they started losing two games on their home floor to start a series. So I'd be surprised by that. But the Lakers, I wasn't really surprised. They won two games on their home floor. They had to go to Phoenix. I expected them to get into some trouble out there. And I still expected it to go seven. They're going to win one on Phoenix floor. Khalil said, man, it boils down, can Phoenix win one on the Lakers floor? I don't think they can, man.
And if you look at the Lakers also, this is kind of what they do also. You know, this is what they do. They get into series of games, teams that they should beat up on, and they let the series go longer than it really needs to go. You know, it's like almost sometimes you watch this team play that they – I'm not going to say as a whole they lack motivation, but they just get into a thing like they feel they have so much confidence that they can just pull it out whenever they want to. They just kind of take a lackadaisical approach to things at times. So I'm not – as long as Phil Jackson's sitting on that bench and Kobe Bryant is playing on that team, I'm not concerned.
Okay. I guess we got to get into the series, which is still going on tonight, Orlando and Boston.
Big shot.
Close game, I guess, as usual. I want to talk about the significance of Brandon Bass getting some clock now all of a sudden. Kind of Orlando looked a little more aggressive when he started playing, man. Looked a little more physical. I don't know, seemed like a different series, man. Are you guys surprised at the way Orlando's fighting back?
Well, it's about time they put somebody on the floor who's going to get some effort. I mean, I'm glad that they are fighting back, but, I mean, you look at those first couple of games, and it was absolutely pathetic the way Rashard Lewis and Vince Carter were playing.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see that they actually showing that some teeth, and if it takes going to your bench to get those teeth on the court, then that's what you got to do.
Yeah, it's absolutely what he said. He hit the nail on the head, man. They it was a lackluster performance those first two games. You looked first three games. You look at that fourth game. They actually played with hustle. They played with intensity. They really pushed the ball up the floor. They tried to make plays. They were hitting shots. Your boy Rashard Lewis stepped up and hit some shots. And he's doing some of that tonight. They're making some hitting some big time threes, as Jameer Nelson just hit a few moments ago. But I mean, it definitely started with Bass, and I think they had to look out there and see who, you know. I think that's what Van Gundy's giving him minutes tonight, too. You had to go out there and, with the guys who were giving forth the best effort, put them on the floor. I think that's what he did in game four. It worked for him, and it's looking like it's going to bode out pretty well for them tonight as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, this series is going on. Rashard Lewis said he had a viral infection going on, so that might be a reason why, you know, his performance was so lackluster. Vince Carter is who he is, career 40% playoff shooter in the playoffs. The Orlando paper actually called him out, man. They asked the man to show up in the newspaper. That's how they put it out. They wanted Vince to show up. Does this series depend on whether Vince shows up, or is it more sensible for the Magic just to sit him and play Redick and Barnes and Peters more?
Hey, in the heart of it all, it makes sense. You want to see Vince Carter play well on this team. This guy has the talent of the world, but he just doesn't have the heart. As one of our good friends said, he's Tracy McGrady's cousin, and he can't help the blood that runs through his veins. You know, and it's just at times when you watch Vince Carter play, it's just like he doesn't have any heart with this thing. You know, he's all the intangibles to really take over in this series and be a key player, but he just doesn't do it. And I don't understand why he doesn't do it. I don't, for the life of me, I don't know what goes through his head, where the lack of heart comes, where he just can't dig deep and refuse to lose and just have some tenacity about himself.
Mm-hmm. All of the ability, none of the tenacity.
Exactly.
He once again, he's right on point, man. It seems like too often you'll see on the floor for him to be one of the primetime players, for him to get lost in the shuffle like that and not really step up, not really demand the ball, not really go, you know, drive to the hoop with the intensity that he should. You know, I don't know what it is with him, man. I guess if he knew what it is, you know, we wouldn't have this kind of a problem. I mean, if he did, I know y'all remember the dunk he put on Frederick Weiss, man. If he played with half the intensity and ferocity he put on that dunk, man, I don't think I don't even think we'd be having this conversation. So I don't know. Maybe after a while, maybe the money, comes so easy. You know, you don't feel you have to work so hard. I mean, you don't feel that maybe it matters much. I don't know what it is, but obviously it is a problem that's plagued him through his career. And he needs to really look, especially if they lose, if they lose this series, especially those first three games. I mean, you got to look at, point the finger at some of those people getting paid big-time dollars. Rashad Lewis, Vince Carter, mm-hmm. didn't show up. You know, those guys are going to have to really look in the mirror.
And I'm extremely – even more so than with Vince Carter, I'm extremely upset with the player Rashard Lewis, just because, you know, when you have a dominant force in the middle like Dwight Howard, you need somebody out there who you can rely on hitting those jump shots to stretch the floor out. And that's what his primary goal is, his assignment when he goes out on the court. But the fact that this man can't even smell a bucket, let alone hit one, for the life of me, I really just don't understand what's going on with his game also. And then the other night, another game when he's playing, he's trying to go and do all these moves to try and take Kendrick Perkins to the hole and everything. And it's just like, what are you doing? Get back in your safety, you know, where you're comfortable and find your game, but don't try and be creative and do stuff that you've never done all season long all of a sudden to get back into this thing.
Yeah. Two big disappointments there, man, in their lineup, man. Those guys are going to have to come up big if they want to pull this out tonight and then go back to Boston and handle their business. Regardless of what happens tonight, I mean, if Orlando does move on, would you even see them as having a chance against the Lakers, or do you see Boston as the only team really has a shot at beating us?
I really don't see Orlando having a chance against the Lakers. I mean, I forgot what the season head-to-head record was that they had, but it seemed that the lack of fight in this team, there's no way they'd have a chance. And Stan Van Gundy, the biggest front runner in sports, he'll find a way to lose it anyway. So Orlando's the only team that have a chance.
Yeah. I agree with that one. Boys, you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I think it's more of the same, man. I don't see it being any different, the Lakers in Orlando, than it was last year. Even if you took your boy, I forget his name, man. The play with the Lakers, man. I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Oh,
yeah, even if you take Ariza off the Lakers and you put LeBron on test, you still face the Magic. I'd still say it's going to be the same outcome. Lakers would probably take that in 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And you'd be looking at two teams right now. You look at the Lakers and you look at the Magic. Probably the biggest disservice that each one of those teams did. The Magic not re-signing Hedo Turkoglu is really hurting them right now. And then the Lakers getting rid of Ariza, or not re-signing Ariza. With Turkoglu, the reason I say that it was such a bad move to let him go is that during the playoffs last year, when the Magic needed offense, and they needed, you know, to get the offense set up, Turkoglu was the one who brought the ball up the court. He was the one who set the offense up. He was the person who was the initiator of everything. They missed that right now. Jameer Nelson's not the person. He hasn't been in the league long enough to weigh that weight on his shoulders. That's what the Magic are missing this year.
Yeah.
And they're missing the kind of, remember, he didn't play a lot last year, and they had Skip the Malou out there.
Yep, and Ray.
Yeah, they seem to really mesh last year with that unit, you know, that they put out there, you know, with Turkoglu on the floor, and they just had a lot of mismatches last year. It don't seem to really be the case for them this year, even though your boy Jameer Nelson is bouncing back pretty well in these past couple of games, man. You're right, they do miss Turkoglu, and I even say they miss Rafe Austin. Rafe Austin played pretty big for them last year. So I would say the two big differences in the match from last year to this year.
Yeah, and I would say summer spending is what can do it all, man. They spent that money on Rashard Lewis, and and that's what made it hard to re-sign Turkoglu. That's basically why he essentially left and went to Toronto. But Turkoglu was the more important player. Like you said, he was forcing mismatches, running that pick and roll with Dwight. And, nobody really had an answer for that. They were getting money off of that every game.
And he could hit the mid-range jumper. You could hit the mid-range jumper in that half-court set, which was real big for him. If you watch this series, you could see where that is real important for the Magic, because the only two things they can do is if they don't dump it down to Dwight, they're going to try and shoot the three. In a half-court set, when that defense is clamping in, you run that pick and roll. That's instant offense to me, and you need that guy to be able to hit that mid-range jumper. They don't really have that this year.
Yeah, kind of surprising, but yeah, that's basically what it's boiled down to. Got to get into some LeBron talk before we get out of here, man. I wanted to try to throw the teams out that everybody's kind of speculating on and see if you guys think any of them are a good fit. First up, New York Knicks. Donnie Walsh got a ton of money. He's been setting this up for years, and New York is calling for it. Is there any shot of New York Knicks getting LeBron?
Donnie Walsh got a ton of money, but he ain't got zero any talent on that team. I mean, honestly,
yeah.
Why would LeBron leave Cleveland to go there? I mean, LeBron's looking at this situation. He's in the seventh year in the league right now, getting ready to go into his eighth. This man wants one thing, that's to win a championship, and he wants to win it bad because he wants to be known as one of the greatest players that ever played this basketball game. He's not going to catch Jordan going to New York. He's not going to catch Kobe going to New York. He ain't even going to catch Isaiah Thomas going to New York. So it doesn't make any sense for him to go there. None whatsoever.
Yeah, Barzy.
Only way that works out is if they get one of the big four free agents. That's the only way I see that. If they pull that off, they're going to have to sign one of the big four. To get on the Knicks before I see LeBron making that kind of a move. It would have to be Dwayne Wade or I don't even know if Chris Bosh would pull it off. I'm going to include him in the big four, but even Amari, they're going to have to sign at least one of those guys, get him in there for LeBron to step up and to be with the Knicks. There's no – look at what Shaq did when he left, Orlando. It was a championship team, but, he went to the Lakers, and the Lakers had some pieces which the Knicks really don't have, so the Knicks really going to have to put it together with the free agents that they signed. So I don't
what's
think it's happening, though.
And what's worrisome about this is that the fact that D'Antoni seems to think that getting Joe Johnson and LeBron James together will be the key to winning multiple championships. I mean, watching Joe Johnson play out, I beg to differ. But then once you get those two, who else are you gonna have on the floor?
Yeah, because you're gonna need a lot if you're adding LeBron and Joe Johnson. You're gonna need a lot of extras to put on top of that.
Well,
LeBron,
exactly.
I mean, Joe will be good as a second star somewhere, but
Joe,
they need
a
lot to make that team viable.
If they could get Joe, but not at max money. I mean,
if they sign three guys, let's say,
for example, they get Bosch, Joe Johnson, and LeBron comes in. If they can all squeeze those guys in, they're starting to look a lot better. But, if they're talking about paying Joe max money and then paying LeBron max money, that's a big mistake. Just from what I've seen from Joe ain't a max money player. I don't give a damn what he or his agent says.
That'd be a grotesque overpayment.
Exactly.
Years ago, New York paid a shooting guard $100 million that, went down in infamy, man. It's one of the worst contracts ever signed, Allen Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can kind of really see some parallels between him and Joe, man. Good shooter, just not a great player.
And with all due respect to Allen Houston, man, Microfracture did him in. It was a bad deal. It was a bad idea that they overpaid. There's no question about that, man. But that man couldn't really step out there and try to earn that contract with his needs at the latter part of his career in the NBA. So
that's true.
I'd say it's almost an asterisk put on that. But
see, I wouldn't put an asterisk on it just because of what he was while he was there. I mean, before he got hurt, I mean, he's pretty good, but not max good.
Yeah, you're right. Like I say, it's hard to argue the contract, but the man, the way his health failed him, he didn't even get a chance to be, to really go out there and try, like I said, try to earn that, that live up to that contract.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, the Knicks. I mean, they put a lot into 2K10. So, if they don't really get some of these big free agents that are on the board this year, you got to really start to ask. I mean, where are the Knicks going?
Yeah, you can't tank another season. I mean, Melo's coming up after this year, so I mean, I guess they could say that afterwards. But either way, it does look bad. Who do I think will go to New York?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to end up with Joe Johnson and some kind of fallback deal, or maybe get desperate and try to make a play for Arenas, like Chris Broussard brought up the other day. I think that might be where they end up, because I don't see one of the big guys signing to him. And I mean, you could sign Bosch and act like he's one of the big free agents, but he ain't no LeBron or D-Wade, so I don't see the Knicks improving their situation this summer. I mean, hell, you get Bosch and somebody else, what are you, an eighth seed now? I mean, is that what you've been working for, tanking seasons and everything for? I don't see the benefit of that, man. I want you guys to explain where you think would be a good fit for him, though. Out of New Jersey, Cleveland, Miami, Chicago, all the places, that have been rumored. What do you think is a good idea for him?
I have to agree with our president. I mean, I've been saying this since the beginning. I think LeBron would be a perfect fit in Chicago. I think of all the teams that are out there right now who have the money, who could afford to get this guy, the Bulls offer the most enticing situation. You got an excellent point guard in Derrick Rose, even though he's kind of more of a 1-2 combo guard than a point. You got a great team there with Joakim Noah, who's a solid center. You got Luol Deng up there. You come and you bring LeBron into that situation, and that team is instantly that much better. And if you can finagle enough cap space to go after another player as well, maybe you bring in one of these other players. Maybe you try and get a Joe Johnson, or maybe you attempt to go get a Chris Bosh. He's probably going to get top money. If you can get one of those other players in there also with him, you got an instant superstar team that can win a championship.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see Chicago as being a reasonable place, like you said, because of Derrick Rose and Noah down low. And, I mean, Ding is not what they thought he was, but, hell, he's still a decent player. So I could see him pulling off Chicago and having a legacy
Ding?
There.
Would you keep Ding as what?
Hell, if I can move him, I'd move him, hell.
That's the best move. Because I don't see him and LeBron, I don't see them keeping Ding with LeBron coming in that situation.
Like to get rid of him, but what's
the
market?
Bench. Ding is going to be on the bench. I don't know if
he's going to be good off the bench.
Well, no, he played it two. He probably played it two a little bit.
The two? Ding?
I mean, you'd have to move him there. I mean, you lost Salmons. You don't really have a good two on that team.
You'd have to
move him there.
I think you have to sign a two. I mean, you know.
I think Ding would be hard to move, though, man. I don't think many people will bite too much on Luol.
And that's the thing. It's just like he's almost relegated to – well, he is going to be relegated to the bench if that's the situation. Because I agree. I don't think anybody's – who's going to be out there to take this guy.
Yeah. Long contract, big money. It hasn't produced yet. Yeah, I don't see anybody really opening up old Luol. But Barzy, what team would you suggest?
Man, I have to agree. Chicago is looking looking good. And it, like I say, it's going to boil down to cap space. Tell you the truth, man, I wouldn't much mind seeing him be here with the Hawks, man. I'd say the Hawks give away half their roster to clear up the space if they could for him to come in and play for Atlanta, man. But, you know, that ain't going to happen. But
if they could, they would.
I mean, he would fit in good here too, man. I think it would be a good fit. But, yeah, who's got the cap space, man? That's what it's going to boil down to.
Yeah, the teams we named had a space: Knicks, Nets, Cleveland, Miami, Chicago.
Hey, man, just they
had
like
a space to do something.
If we were doing this fantasy style, man, I would say, man, he could fit in very well in Portland. If you know, I'd say he'd look good there.
Yeah, they can't get it done.
But
the other thing, too, though, is not re-signing with Cleveland. He's basically leaving about $25 plus million on the table because they could sign him for the highest amount.
That don't mean a damn thing to LeBron.
Is that realistic?
That don't mean nothing to LeBron because LeBron's going to get paid anyway.
Exactly. Here's the thing,
is 25 mil, though. I mean, damn.
All right, but this DeAndre West was sleeping with this man's mom. All right, he clearly gave up in the series when he found out that his teammate was knocking off his mama. And I think he ain't gonna come out and say this. But I think LeBron was really hurt about that because if you watch that documentary More Than a Game about LeBron James, you'll see that he is very family oriented. His basketball family was his family because his mom was so out there all the time, moving around and everything. That's why up in Cleveland they do all that dancing around and shit and having all the fun and games because he views them as his family. But since everybody on that team just about knew and in the organization knew that DeMonte was sleeping with his mom, but nobody as a man came to him and told him, I think LeBron's hurt, and there's no way in hell he's coming back to Cleveland.
Sir, are you going to go Calvin Murphy and say that that's a fact now?
I am going to go and say it's a fact because there's no other reason that I can have that explains why LeBron just gave up the way he gave up in the playoffs.
Right.
There's nothing else in my mind. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah. It does make a lot of sense, man, going from those performances.
I mean, if you watch that game, Buddy was disinterested. He didn't give a damn about basketball. He was just like, whatever, I don't even want to be out here. DeLonte West didn't see the court. And then when he got into the game, he was doing all types of crazy stuff. So it just makes sense.
I got to say, too, man, what kind of discipline does LeBron have for not beat the hell out of DeLonte West?
True. You don't suck
true
on the court,
or false, false on the rumor, I mean.
You don't suck on the court, man. Yeah, it's like I heard someone here in Atlanta say, man, you if that's the case, man, you go beat DeLonte up in the locker room somewhere, man. You don't suck on the court and lose games and pout. You go handle your business with DeLonte West. He's a bit of a nutcase, his damn self, man. I don't know how all that transpired, but I heard someone say that it went down in such a way where, you know, that DeLonte was left behind because of his whole issues he's had with off the court.
Right.
He was left behind at a hotel, and then, you know, LeBron's mom was at the hotel, and one thing led to another, some drinks. Somebody said that eventually, he did the deed with his mom, and then LeBron is out at that team function, came back to drop his mom off some food from the function, knocked on the door, and man's coming out in a towel and shit in his mom's room. And apparently people knew about it. That's what they said. And so the rumor goes, man.
Right.
I really don't know if it's true, but damn, if I'm Gloria James, man. I mean, damn. I mean, what would be the point? I mean, you can't find a guy your age, man. This is your son's team, man. You don't groom this guy to come up to this point, man. And you got to throw a monkey wrench in there like that. I mean, come on.
That's ugly, man. It's beyond words. This is some stuff you see on the Boondocks, man. This is like some rap beats that like a rapper would do. You wouldn't picture somebody.
So
you actually slept with somebody's mama, man.
Yeah, that's something. That's something. I mean, don't get me wrong. She ain't a bad looking lady for her age, but God dang, man. I'm just saying, man. Delonte.
How thirsty are you? That's off limits. You don't go there, man. That's pretty much well known anywhere.
It's interesting you gave the legend story about what happened, how he found out, because I always wondered how he found out. I wouldn't know if it was like in Baby Boy where LeBron come over the house and Delonte is just in the kitchen butt naked making pancakes. How he find out how this whole thing went down.
Making pancakes with a pistol on him.
Yeah, with a pistol on him.
That's crazy, man. I hope it ain't go down like that for dude's sake, man. But like I said, that's a lot of discipline, man, for not beating the hell out of Delonte if this story actually happened. Shout out to LeBron, man, for being disciplined, man, because I'm not that good a dude.
Hey, man,
you and me both.
I don't know, man. It's I never heard of anything like that ever, man. I mean, you couldn't even write that in like a soap opera or something. You couldn't even write a script like that, man.
Right.
I mean, God dang, man. I'm just like Gloria James, man. I'm like real surprised if that's real, if that story is 100% legit, man. Damn, this is your kid, man. This is your kid's team, man. You couldn't find somebody else on some other team or something.
That's what I'm. And then. I've never seen somebody that's come from a working class environment that mess up their money, man.
I mean,
I know
her
chicks
money,
who won't mess it. Well, I mean, I'm talking about her dude, her son having money. Like, she don't want to get cut off. I know chicks who won't mess up their situation with a UPS guy because he got benefits and everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. I couldn't see a chick that's primarily from the hood doing something like that. That's why I didn't believe the rumor for the longest, man. But. At this point, I mean, what else can you say?
Yeah. At least, what else can you say? You think about it. The back of her head, she's probably like, he ain't going to cut me off. I'm his mother. You know? And I do, and I 100% blame her more than I blame Delonte. I mean, Delonte, young, stupid, whatever, we already know he has a whole bunch of issues. The same man who got caught in PG County with a guitar case full of guns. Like he's
right.
Desperado riding around on a motorcycle with pistols and Bowie knives, like he's real life Grand Theft Auto. So I mean, we know this dude is messed up. However, his mom, you know,
yeah.
You're a grown woman. You've been on this earth a long time. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You know what situations to keep yourself out of. And sleeping with your son's teammate is definitely one of them. And as a mother, there's no excuse for that.
Yeah, man, that's as disrespectful as it can get, man. Switching gears, y'all. You know, it was announced yesterday, Super Bowl in New York 2014. I guess no more crying about the weather, man. They're doing it up in New York, man. You guys for or against it?
I'm all for the NFL being consistent because I remember a couple years, well, it was more than a couple years back, a while back before Arthur Blank bought the Falcons. The Falcons made a bid to get the Super Bowl down here again, and they told the Falcons know because it's too cold in Atlanta during February, in January and February. And this is to have the Super Bowl in a dome, mind you. All right, so then they move the game up to Detroit, winter, cold weather place, but it's in a dome. So you're like, okay, whatever, I can still see them saying we can control the environment. But you're telling me now that you're going to move the Super Bowl to New York City or New Jersey, whatever you want to call it, in February, and that the weather is not going to be an issue? I mean, the weather is not going to affect the bottom line of the Super Bowl either way. But you can't sit here and say that it's, you know, you need to be in a warm weather climate if you will expect to get a Super Bowl. Because really what it's all about now is if you got a new stadium, you get a Super Bowl. That's what it appears to be.
Right. Right. Regardless of weather, that's really what's going down. Barzy, your take on it?
Well, I knew it was going to happen, and you know, I knew it was going to happen because of one thing. It's a brand new stadium. And if you know anything about the NFL, when these new stadiums turn up, they get the Super Bowl eventually. You go down the line, you can see it. You mean just go look at these new stadiums that have popped up, that have been built. They give those people Super Bowls as far as rewards. So, you know, that new stadium out in New York, I'm not surprised. Hell, if Atlanta really wants a Super Bowl back here, I mean, they've been talking about building a new stadium in Dunwoody or the Duluth. There's been talk about that. I mean, I see if that happens, you know, it's definitely going to happen. It's definitely going to happen based on the precedents that have been set forth by the NFL when these new stadiums are built. So I'm not surprised by it. What I'm more surprised are, like, did the NFL have to do it? No. But like I said, the precedence was already there for them to give them to award New York a Super Bowl based on that new stadium that's out in New Jersey.
Yeah, Arthur Blank in Atlanta's got a hard road to climb on that, man, because they're furloughing teachers and firefighters and police officers down here. So, I mean, he's going to have a hard time convincing the city to kick in money to get a stadium built, man. I don't see how it happens, but, yeah, it's hypocrisy at its best, man. They talk all that stuff, but they end up doing whatever they do because of money. So the stadium situation, as has been shown, is what leads to the Super Bowl.
And I don't even want to hear Atlanta complain about the stadium. I've been in the Georgia Dome. I'm a Raiders fan. You've ever been to the Oakland Coliseum? That might be the worst stadium, not named Candles. The two worst stadiums in the NFL are in the Bay Area. So, you know, just be happy that you got a stadium that has luxury boxes, that ain't falling apart, that, you know, that is modern, that's not a baseball field at heart. You know, just be happy that you're not in a building that was built in the 70s for a baseball team. You know?
Hey, I got to say, on that 30 for 30, Al kind of left the door open, man. He basically said if L.A. puts the stadium up, he might make the move again.
That's the problem with Al. I mean, God bless his soul. Al doesn't know what he wants. He left because he said that they wanted, you know, he had a stadium deal in hand for the Hollywood Bowl or Hollywood Park. But he left because they wouldn't guarantee him that he would be the only team in that stadium. He wanted his own thing. So, you know,
yeah.
We promised him a new stadium in Oakland. He ain't got that stadium yet. So, Al, he needs to go ahead and let go.
I don't think he will, man. I think he'll hold on to the bitter end on that.
About he needs to let it go to reach the end.
Oh. I got to talk Pac Mayweather, man, before this thing is up, man. Looks like we might have a go at this, man, Pacquiao and Mayweather. But recently Pacquiao had to go to the hospital for a stomach ulcer. You guys see this actually happening sometime October, September or something?
Man,
I make this –
go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, I make this very quick. I believe that it's going to happen. I think it's been going to happen the entire time. I think they've just been playing it up to get the ultimate payday for this thing to happen. So I think Mayweather's going to fight Pacquiao because he knows that his legacy is not going to go down as one of the best fighters of probably the best fighter of his era until he beats Pacquiao.
Mm-hmm. Bargy?
Nothing to say there, man. I'm just like, say, please make the damn fight. God, man. I mean, they're killing people out here. I mean, everybody knows that those are only the two remain. Those are only guys that each other can fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make the freaking fight, man. I'm tired of this, man. This whatever it is, man. I'm ready for somebody to get knocked out. Whether it be Mayweather, whether it be Pacquiao, let's settle it in the ring and be done with it, man. I'm tired of hearing Mayweather talking about, yeah, we want drug testing up or something. Make an agreement, man. Split it down the middle. Let's make the damn fight.
I want to see it go down too, man. I just want to see it go down just so I can prove Barzy wrong on this whole little Pacquiao thing, man. When Mayweather makes quick work of him, man, I'd be satisfied with that.
I don't believe it'll be quick work, man, because like I said, Mayweather never knock out people, man. So maybe he went on points, man. But what I'm more wanting to see is Mayweather press, man. I want to see someone really take the fight to Mayweather, really make him, showcase his skills, man, which sometimes he doesn't do, man. He kind of fights down the competition. I really want to see him get pressed and really start to throw his hands and to showcase some of the skills he's got, man.
And when Pacquiao's really eating that right hand, you're going to find out why he's not pressed a lot. When Pacquiao starts eating that right hand, we'll see.
Hey, man, like I said, man, we will see what happens, but I want really somebody to take the fight to Mayweather and make him fight the kind of fight that everybody's been wanting to see him fight.
And I agree with you on that end. I think that Pacquiao is actually going to make Mayweather fight. You know, Mayweather, watching him box, he's so technically sound. He's such a good defensive fighter. You know, he's so disciplined in his boxing skills. I want to see Pacquiao. You know, Pacquiao's a great fighter, but he ain't the most disciplined fighter on the face of the earth. And he's going to bring that fight to Mayweather. And I really want to see if Mayweather can really take on the barrage that Pacquiao throws at him and really see those true boxing skills that he has. I want to see Mayweather put forth his all. I want to see him have to work for it. So I just want to see the damn fight.
Yeah. Make the damn fight. If somebody out there who's listening, make the damn fight, please. Damn.
That's all we need, man. Make the damn fight.
Exactly.
Before we get out of here, man, just want to hit a quick little local note before we get out of here. This is Speaking Like You Think It Radio. I'm joined by Craig Barzee and Khalil today. I just got to ask you guys about, I know Craig, I know how you're going to feel about this. You might not want to comment, but I need you to comment on this, man. Is Mark Rick on the hot seat at Georgia? I mean, there's a lot of heat going at Paul Hewitt last year at Georgia Tech. And I got to ask, if Mark Rick doesn't have a great season this year, are people justified in calling for his head?
Here's the deal. Mark Rick, I think that there is some justification to it, but again, if you fire him, who are you going to hire? You know, that's what it boils down to with me. You know, Mark Rick has done a lot for the Georgia program. You know, it was just 2 years ago that they won that Sugar Bowl, and everybody thought that they were the hottest thing smoking, you know. Maybe the expectations were set too high for him the following year, being ranked number one preseason overall with no Sean and Stafford. I think that's the only thing he becomes a victim of is the fact that maybe the expectations were too high and he had to play Urban Meyer, you know?
Yeah, but they got a lot of guys that were drafted pretty high from those classes and from the current, the what, 5-6 team last year. They had a couple guys drafted too. So, I mean, it's hard to say that they didn't have a lot of comparable talent, not on Florida's level, but they had a lot of talent.
I'm saying they didn't have Percy Harvin and Tim Tebow, though.
But they had the number one NFL draft pick and the first running.
Yeah,
first running back off the board that
first
year.
First player taken. Yeah,
no,
Marino's first back taken.
He was the first back taken off that board.
Damn. Yeah, number 11.
So you look at Georgia's history, man. I think Rick, you know, beat Georgia Tech a lot, and that gives him some leeway. Yeah, he's won a Sugar Bowl. Yeah. They shouldn't have played Hawaii in that damn Sugar Bowl.
Bring it up, man. I knew you was gonna bring it, but bring it up, man.
They shouldn't have played them in that game anyway, and that was just a cakewalk for them. I mean, they finished number two that year. They put it. There was a lot of lofty expectations out there on Georgia. If you look at what got Rick Donovan, Coach Donovan fired. He lost to a lot of the rivals. Well, you could say the only rival that Rick has really continuously lost to or gotten beat by, and that's Florida. I mean, other than that, I mean, he's won a good percentage of his games.
Yeah, but not lately.
They haven't won anything, but you know, other than last year, they really had a bad year losing, and they still ended up beating Georgia Tech. So, I mean, it would have really been bad for him. If they would have lost to Georgia Tech upon having that down year as well, then there would have been more fire. Because one thing the redneck Georgia fans down here don't like to lose to damn Georgia Tech. That's something that they consider unforgivable. So
I got to say, this is a Florida fan talking right now, so of course he's going to throw the redneck comment at Georgia. Georgia fans, don't be offended. He's been hating y'all all year.
Yeah, listen, man, just speaking like you think, man. We all know how to go. I know there's redneck fans in Florida too, but damn, Georgia is one of the most overhyped, and really, you know, they're fans have such a high regard for what they're supposed to do. Like, I mean,
but what
they are the where are the trophies college team basically.
I mean,
they do a lot of talk. Where are the trophies?
Well, they look at the draft picks that they've had. What has Georgia done since 1980, 81, they won that championship? I mean, God, you would think that they've had five championships on the board. For them.
Right.
You ever hear a Georgia fan talk about their team? I mean, for real, they haven't won jack shit. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
I agree with you 120%. This must be for a team that ain't won shit, you know, over the past decade and then some. There is so much talk. You talk to these Georgia fans down here, and they'll make you think that they are the best thing that's ever happened, that's ever stepped on. Florida's won three championships since the last time Georgia won one. All right. LSU's won two since the last time Georgia's won. Why? What's going on? USC, they've won three since the last time Georgia's won. They haven't done anything since Herschel Walker.
That's the truth, man. The truth hurts sometimes, man. Georgia fans probably will not take that well, but it is what it is. But I'm saying I think Rick is going to be on the hot seat this year. Got an unproven quarterback. Still same talent level. A.J. Green is going to be, you know, the first receiver taken probably. And I think they're going to struggle, and I think finally it's going to come around to Rick because, you know, they were real quick to jump on Hewitt, man, but Rick kind of got a pass last year, man.
Look, Georgia didn't even play in a national championship game. But yet, you know, what's really putting Hewitt is his conference record. I think he's like 20 games under 500.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's really a bad look. But if you look at overall success, you could say Coach Hewitt has done more getting his team to that ultimate goal than Rick has done. Now, obviously, they don't play under the same kind of format like college basketball does, but I mean,
yeah, but if you're in the SEC and you're one of the major teams, you have a clear road to the championship. You know what you have to get done.
And I'm going to say this too, man. When they were doing all that winning, Tennessee was down. Florida was down. Alabama was down. I mean, there was a lot of big time programs that weren't really stepping up the way that they traditionally are used to. And you look at that, I mean, you could say that was attributed to a lot of Mark Rick's early success. I mean, who could argue that? I mean, you look at it, the SEC wasn't really the SEC it was today, which he's having a hard time winning. That's why people are setting those lofty expectations up that, hey, based on what Georgia used to do, but some of those teams were not what they were today.
Mm-hmm. A big realignment in coaching in the SEC. Nick Saban comes in, that changes things at Bama. Meyer comes to Florida, that changes things. And like you said, Fulmer and those guys had a downswing, and to be honest, they were still beating Georgia.
Well, I mean,
Tennessee, bad years. Fulmer, hell, they pulled off wins.
We're talking about during those David Green. Okay.
Yeah, well, that was who knocked them off.
Yeah, Georgia was you know, pretty up. Yeah, they lost their fair share game, but they won the SEC championship those years. You look at when Coach Meyer came into Florida, Nick Saban coming back to Alabama. I mean, that's not, those were juggernauts, man. I mean, they really swung the balance and shifted the balance of power in the SEC when those guys came in, the way they recruited. The coaching style, the offenses they bring, the defense that Saban has brought in, being the kind of recruiter he is, the staff that they put together, these two coaches. I mean, you really see it. Mark Rick, I'm not going to say that he's a bad coach, man, but the SEC is a juggernaut, man. You see it every year. At the end of the year, man, anybody who's paired with the SEC in a bowl game going to get a beatdown. That's just the way it is. It's the SEC. It's tough. It's way tougher than it was when he was dominating. And really, they haven't really stepped the game up. he should be on the hot seat. Some people could argue against it, make a case, and some people could argue for it. If they really have a down year this year, where they're losing to teams like Vanderbilt and Kentucky are hanging in on them, yeah, Mark Richt probably should be let go because those are the teams that you should beat. And you saw a case last year with Kentucky. Kentucky, I think, beat them. A lot of bad teams that they should have beat really hung in the ball game with them and beat them. So if he at least does that this year, I don't think his job is in jeopardy. I don't think losing to Florida again this year, which it seems like that always happens, will affect his job status. I don't think even losing three games this year will affect his job status. He's just gonna have to beat the teams that he's supposed to beat, the teams he's favored to beat. If he does that, I don't think that his job is going to be in jeopardy this year. But he throws up another one like he did last year, and yeah, he's probably going to get axed.
Yeah. This is Speaking Like You Thinking Radio, man. We're going to get out of here. But before we go, you guys want to throw anything out before you go? Any statements you want to make?
I'll throw this out, man. Check out, go on to our website, www.btwice.net. Check out great shows we got going on. We got Two Live Stews, Crown Royal Entertainment Reports. We got Knockout. We got The Round Table. We got The Redonkulous. We got a whole bunch of sports shows. TNSP Sportsnet coming soon. Check it out. It's going to be what's up.
I'm going to say one thing, man. People should be on the lookout for one of the better MMA fights I've been looking forward to seeing this weekend. Rampage Jackson taking on Rashad Evans. Yeah, Rashad Evans.
I will say it sounds like you're only interested because of two black guys. I will say that, sir.
Hey, man. I mean, it's interesting, man, the dynamic between those two, man. If you watch some of that Ultimate Fighter reality show, man. And I'm just looking forward to seeing that this weekend. So if you get a chance, if you see anybody's carrying that in any sports bar, go ahead and check that out, man. I think it's going to be an interesting fight. I think it'll be some good talk on Monday about that.
That's what's up, man. Yeah, I'm definitely going to check that out, man. I'll second that one, man. Look like it's going to be interesting. But yeah, man, like I said, you can find him on you can find Khalil on btwice.net doing different shows, radio and video, and you can also find Barzy here every Tuesday and Wednesday on Speaking Like You Think It Radio.
Also, now it's 9 to 5, man.
But yeah, man, we're gonna get out of here today, man. Thanks for coming on, both of y'all, man.
Thanks for having us.
We out.
Okay. We out.
All right.